Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Kranevelt, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Xbox Game Pass service, which was usually, with exceptions, sometimes chosen completely at random. Whether it's a magical or horrible experience, we'll force ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we also will draw the game for the next show as well, so you always know it's coming up on the horizon. And as I mentioned, it's always me and a guest. It's not just me here. Today, I'm really happy to be doing the show. You know, we took a bit of a break there. World fell apart. World's coming back together. Hello, Michaela.
Hi. Hello, old pal.
Old pal.
How are you?
That's fitting for the game we're playing, which I'm sure we'll get into.
I know, I did that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah,
haven't seen you in a while.
Right? It's been a whole, 3 minutes since we were in the other room together.
It's been a whole, 7 minutes since you finished playing this game.
It has.
Finally. So, you know, I'm glad to finally be talking about it with you. We played, you know, if you didn't catch the last episode was Doogie and I, and we were talking about the Medium, which was the first big Xbox Series exclusive. It didn't work on the older consoles. We had very different opinions of it. I thought it was a good chat. I thought it was a good conversation.
It was a good chat.
Did you listen to it?
I did listen to it. I'm trying to remember if I finished it, but I think that I did.
So back then, a month ago, the show's monthly now. The show's monthly now, and if you like hearing my voice and would like to hear me more often,
I love hearing your voice.
Why don't you finish my podcast then?
I like it in real time, mostly.
If you like hearing my voice, want to hear it a bit more often, and do like hearing me talk about video games, the Geekscape Games podcast is back. It's me and it's Shane and it's sometimes Josh and sometimes Carlos and sometimes Katie, and that's been it so far, I believe. And I'm sorry if it's not. We talk about all things video games, not just Xbox, not just Game Pass, not just a single game like we're going to talk about right now. This week is Call of the Sea. Actually, before we get into that, you've been playing a bunch of Xbox lately. We recently got a second Xbox. How have you been feeling about that whole thing? It's been pretty cool to me. I've talked about it, I think, on this show and definitely on Geekscape Games, but I haven't really got to hear your perception of this whole thing that we've been doing.
What whole thing is that?
I don't know, having two Xboxes? Playing game, trying to play more
as
games
soon as
together.
You said
that sort of thing.
I was like, oh god, have I been playing Xbox? I don't remember what I've been playing. Have I been playing games? I panicked, Derek. No, it's been surprisingly good. I never in 1 million years would have thought that I would be a person who required two Xboxes in my household. Considering before I met you, I think I had played N64 4 times in my entire life. But now we have all the consoles and needed two of this one in order to do all the things. But I actually really have been enjoying it. My favorite part has been being able to play Stardew with you, which is pretty exciting.
Which, a week after we got the Xbox, the update that made local multiplayer exist came out. So that's totally unnecessary at this point. But
it's still my favorite part of it.
Yeah. It's been a blast. It's been very fun. It's slightly frustrating because the only thing that you, it seems like you ever want, you know, we've been playing It Takes Two lately, on the same console. So,
which is so fucking
It Takes Two is fantastic. Aside from that, it felt like for every 1 hour of a game I wanted to play, you know, we have started Fallout 76 and like, you'll be like, we'll play for an hour and like 45 minutes are like, oh, I need to arrange my things.
That's how you play the game. You've got to arrange your
things. Well, the last time that we played, I was like, arrange your things now so that the next time we play, you can just jump in.
So next time we're ready. But then we started playing It Takes Two, so good. So much fun that I'm not even sad that we aren't playing Fallout because of it. Sorry.
But yeah, it seems like every, like, I'll be like, let's play this game. You'll like, for 1 hour, we will play this game. And then like, it's usually an hour and a half, 2 hours or whatever.
Thank you for
every 1 hour that you agree to play something, you're like, oh, we will now play 24 hours of Stardew Valley.
I wish we could play 24 hours of Stardew Valley. I haven't even touched Stardew Valley in like a month.
Yeah, because you've been playing other stuff. And my time in Stardew Valley in your game that we jumped into is like 20 hours.
Yeah.
Do you know how much we played like Fallout 76?
You're welcome.
Like 2 hours total.
That's not true at all. We've played Fallout 76 at least three times, if not four. And each time it has been for greater than 1 hour.
Right.
The last time for sure was at least two hours. And Stardew doesn't hurt my brain. I don't get motion sick. There's no having to like coordinate two sticks at the same time. I don't feel like an idiot when I get stuck in a corner somewhere. I know how to play Stardew.
Right. I mean, it seems like you're having fun with Fallout and stuff too. We also tried Elder Scrolls Online, which I really like. I would love to play more of that.
Well, I played Elder Scrolls Online on my own.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Before we had two Xboxes a long time ago.
As well.
I think I struggle a bit with those games because I only have so much energy that I can put into them at a time.
Yeah.
And then the time between playing, I'm like, wait, which button do I press for this thing again? So it's like I have to relearn the whole thing.
So what you're saying is if we played things like Fallout 76 more regularly, you wouldn't have to relearn how to play so much.
Mm, but then I don't have the like emotional energy to put into it every 5 seconds. Mm. So it's really
maybe like
tough.
Once a week we could, you know.
I decline to commit to anything at this point.
Anyways, it's been great having two Xboxes. Some of the stuff that's really cool that I wasn't even really aware of before is how, well, I was aware of it, but now it feels so much more, at a different level, is how great like things like the Xbox handles cloud saves. You know, there's been times where you're playing something on the TV and I would like to continue the game that I've been playing. And the fact that I can just jump to the other Xbox and like hit go and it just takes 2 seconds to sync my save and I don't need to do anything manually or anything like that is just like, it feels fantastic.
Totally.
You know, and I just last night got into the iOS beta for the Xbox Cloud Gaming, which I've been really excited for. I played it. The invite came at like 11 p.m. or something. So I played it like a little bit in bed, just like some simple game that I didn't care about with touch controls, which are horrible. Like I jumped into Sea of Thieves for a second and the buttons aren't really like described as to what they do. So sometimes they're just like symbols, like icons.
That would drive
and so you kind of have to figure it out. But also like these games that are built for a full controller with two sticks and like 25 buttons and all this stuff, like they do not translate to touch
at all.
But
you do have the option to use your
100%.
Controller.
I just did not choose to at that moment.
Okay.
But yeah, it's something that I'm super excited for. I tried to jump into a game today as well, and it just like it was like a half second delay, and it like was completely unplayable.
But it's
and
still a beta, right? Like they haven't figured out all the kinks for that.
Yeah. It's something, you know, it's in its infancy. I'm really looking forward to more.
It'll
we have really good.
Good
internet, so I was a little bit surprised. Like, you know, we have like 1 gigabit per second internet connection. So
because we fancy.
So to see it performing like that, you know, what does it perform like for other people at that point that don't have, aren't as lucky as we are?
I think they just must be so at the beginning of it that.
Well, and it could be like it's the week, it's a Saturday. Like maybe a lot of people are playing at the same time. Like I literally, it worked great. It felt much better last night playing it at 11 p.m. than it did, you know, at 1 p.m. today trying to play it.
Oh, that's a good point.
So it could be stuff like that for sure.
You know what I like about the new Xboxes? I think this is on both of them. The quick resume thing.
It's
amazing.
It's amazing.
It's like you're in it right away.
Well, and there's times that like you'll, you know, your mom phones you or like you're like, oh, I just need to do this thing real quick. And on past generations, I wouldn't have even thought about playing games because by the time I boot up the console. By the time the game actually loads up, by the time I actually get anywhere, you know, you're done, because it's, you're like, I'm going to be 10 or 15 minutes. But with like things like quick, you know, I've been playing like Fallout 4 recently and whatever else I've been playing. But with things like quick resume, it's literally like, you're like, oh, I'm going to be go do this thing for 15 minutes. And within 20 seconds, I'm playing a game. Like, yeah, it, the console comes on instantly. The games that are in quick resume are just there. And then even if it's not in quick resume, the games load so fast now that like it just feels, it feels like you can jump into a 10 or 15 minute gaming session and not just be waiting the entire time, which is crazy.
I wonder if that's made your social media consumption decrease, because all those little windows of time, you know, where normally you would be like scrolling Reddit or scrolling Facebook.
Well, for sure, load screens, you know, like I remember, and I talked about this on Geekscape Games, but playing Fallout,
which I listened to, I'm sure.
I don't believe you. but playing Fallout 4 on the Xbox One, I did not get that far. And it was because of a lot of reasons, but the primary things that I remember about the game are things like it loaded so often and the load screens were so long and just so terrible. And it's like, if you're like, oh, I need to go stop at this, you know, stop at this, whatever they call them, settlement, so that I can like drop off the junk that I've collected. And then I need to go to Diamond City because I need to sell some stuff. And then I need to, and then I will fast travel back to this place because that's where the next mission I want to do is. That's like a long time, because
that doesn't sound fun at
you,
all.
When you need to fast travel, it takes like a minute to get everywhere, and
that's not very fast.
And I don't know actually know how long it took, but it felt like forever. And also the game ran like crap on that console. But playing it now, it's like you know, if I choose to fast travel like across the Commonwealth, across the map, it's like 3 to 4 seconds from like I hit the button to like I'm where I'm at. Like you don't even have time to unlock your phone and like jump into an app before it's ready for you again. It's crazy.
Well, and there was, I can't remember what game it was that I was playing, but I was noticing that it would have like those pointers about things on the load screens, and I literally never had a chance to read through a whole sentence before it was like, oh, you're in it.
Yeah, it's, why are those even there at this point?
I don't know, like, they're probably going to change them.
Well,
now.
And I feel like some games like you have to, it'll have the tips or whatever, but you have to like hit the A button or whatever to progress, so it like gives you the time to read them if you want to.
That would be very
but when they don't, and it's just like, you're like, what?
No
and
tips
it's just
for
gone.
You.
Yeah, it's just gone. Xbox has been great.
Yeah.
Game Pass has been great. Things like EA Access, jumping into there as well, it's very exciting. I'm really looking forward to and hoping some of those games start to get drawn for the show as well. I've added them to the list of random games
to be
selected.
Do you think it's going
to
become like, you know how there used to be cable and then you could like rent videos at the video store, but now everyone just has 40 million streaming services? Is it going to become like that, where like instead of going to buy a game, you like just have to choose from a plethora of streaming services?
Probably, like, because I think that,
like, I feel like we're at the beginning of the whole way that is done.
Well, and does it become
completely,
like, you know, when you know, even 5 years ago with Netflix had content from everyone, and now everyone's pulling that content or not renewing their contracts because they all, you know, HBO Max has their own thing, and Sony has their own thing, and
like, is
Hulu
Game Pass,
has their own thing, and Disney owns everything else. Like, is it right now Game Pass is
the Netflix?
Well,
and
is it? But it's in its prime. It's at the prime period
the
right now, and it has all of their own content plus the third party content.
Dissolve into
probably.
40
Although they just pulled EA in, and EA already had their own thing. So maybe not.
Well, and then do you support a monopoly, because then you just have to pay one place one time or once a month or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Or do you encourage whatever the opposite of a monopoly is called, so that multiple places have it and there's multiple streaming services, and then they're competitive, and then it's maybe not as costly. Although, how could it?
I don't know.
Just is such a good deal. Yeah.
It's
really,
it's
enjoying
the
it.
Best value in gaming, really. Like, people that anyone that doesn't subscribe to it, I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
what are you doing?
And even like when,
right,
you know, my dad, who like doesn't play a lot of games, but he was, you know, asking me in September or in August, like before pre-orders went up, like, what console should I get? And anytime that a conversation like this comes up, I'm like, if you're gonna get one, like, and if you don't want to buy a lot of, like, I just think that the best the best value is in Xbox Game Pass. Like, even if you just buy a console, even if you just buy a Series S, which is like $379 Canadian.
Except that you're never going to be able to fit anything on.
The Series S did fill up very quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's our second console.
Yeah.
That's the part that's
But like Fallout 76 is 80 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls Online is 80 gigabytes.
Then you should make your console.
Call of Duty is like 900 gigabytes.
500.
Yeah,
like, well, it doesn't make any sense.
Have I got news for
all.
You? There's a $200-something
exactly, and then you just get the fancy Xbox, and it's
fine. Then you might as well have gotten the Series X for sure. But yeah, like talking to my like, it's like these people I think are adverse to subscriptions at this point, or they're like burnt out on subscriptions in a lot of cases because there's so many of them. But Game Pass also feels so different from any of that because it like the like it's cheaper than Netflix.
Yeah.
And like games are expensive and games are expensive. And the fact that like,
except you know, which game is not expensive?
Stardew Valley.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're looking for a budget game that'll give you so many hours of enjoyment.
Yeah. You've put more hours into Stardew Valley than I've put into any game I've played in my entire life. And I've been playing games since I was like a kid.
Any single game.
Yeah. Not cumulatively. No. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But we've,
Right.
They're not paying us to talk about Game Pass.
But if they want to, you would happily accept.
This month, we played Call of the Sea. Mm-hmm. Why don't you start with a synopsis and then we will jump into some thoughts and then we'll jump into some spoilers and we'll go from there.
By thoughts, do you mean whether we liked it or not?
Mostly, yeah. Okay. But let me talk first after your synopsis.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can manage that. So Call of the Sea is a first-person adventure puzzle game set in the 1930s that tells the story of Nora, a woman on the trail of her missing husband's expedition. The search takes place on a strange but beautiful island in the South Pacific, filled with secrets waiting to be unearthed. It is an otherworldly tale of mystery, adventure, and self-discovery.
So before you tell me how you felt about this game, I just wanted an opportunity to tell you how I thought you were going to feel about this game.
Okay.
Like,
also, I want to hear how you felt about the game I say how I felt about it.
So I thought that this game is like from trailers and everything. It's just beautiful. It's like this like neat cell shaded, like kind of just tropical world basically. And there's a lot of variety to what it looks like and what it sounds like. So I thought you'd be really into that. The beauty of the whole thing. It's also like a puzzle based, you love puzzle games, things like Puzzle Fighter, and it's a very different type of puzzle game than Puzzle Fighter, but things like Monument Valley, like environmental puzzles and stuff like that, you've really been into. I knew that this game kind of had that aspect. I didn't know much about this game. I just knew that it was like a pretty puzzle-y, and it's also like looked like a walking simulator. Like you're, you know, part of the main thing that you're doing is you're just walking around to absorb the environment and absorb the story that unfolds around you. And so I thought that you would be super into this game. After playing, while I was playing, and I finished this.
You played the game before.
I finished it before you even started it. And as I'm playing it, like as I'm getting into like the first couple of puzzles, I'm like, oh my god, she's gonna hate this. Like she's gonna be so frustrated. And you are interesting because like things like I don't think the game was super complicated in its mechanics or anything like that. But and so maybe this is a bad comparison, but like when we are looking at like board games and stuff like that, like if it has more than like two pages of instructions, you're like, don't even want to hear it. Don't even want to give it a chance. I'm not interested. Like,
I'm not. It's just too much.
Which is tough because I feel like you miss out on so many great games because of that.
I don't, though, because I don't enjoy them. I can't remember what you said on the first page of the instructions by the time we get to the third page.
Yeah.
And so how do I ever play the game?
Yeah, it's tough. As I'm playing it, it almost detracted from my enjoyment because every time like something hard would happen, I would be like, oh no, like she's going to just hate this and she's never going to want to do this show again, but she has to, like every other episode, she's going to be the guest. So like, it's just not going to work. That is how I thought that you would. So I thought you were going to be really into it. And then I thought that as you were playing it, you were just going to hate the thing. I am really torn on this game because like walking simulators, exploration, stories, like that sort of stuff. That is like my favorite thing. Like part of, you know, like I keep bringing up that I've been playing Fallout 4 because it's taken up a lot of my time recently. But like part of what I enjoy the most there is like going into these buildings and like just experiencing like the environmental storytelling that Bethesda has done in like the way that like the way that the skeletons are placed, or like just seeing weird shit that's happened to these characters that caused them to die or whatever. Like all of that stuff is super, you know, picking up audio logs, all of that stuff is like super interesting to me. And I really like those aspects of the game. I also like, you know, thinking back to like some puzzly walking simulators, like What Remains of Edith Finch, like Gone Home, like stuff like that. I loved those games. What Remains of Edith Finch is like a top 10 game for me. Like that game was absolutely brilliant.
It was amazing.
And this game, I felt so unintelligent playing this game because the puzzles and some of, you know, every it game's broken up into, there's a prologue, there's an epilogue, but there's like six main chapters, and they all kind of revolve, each chapter kind of revolves around kind of a big area. There's a few smaller puzzles often, but there's like a big area and a big puzzle that you need to solve in order for you to move on to the next area. And I don't know. I just felt really dumb because I feel like it was not long before I had to, and I'm wandering around. I'm interacting with everything you can interact with. You know, they do a really good job of, she kind of, she has a journal. And so everything that you're looking up, everything that you encounter and that you interact with, that's important to a puzzle or whatever. Like there's kind of like a story journal, but then that she also like writes things down or like jots pictures, and it's super useful in terms of like looking up what you might have to do. So I'm like exploring to the point where for sure I have interacted with everything in the area, and then I'm stuck puzzle wise and then I have to look up a guide, and then I feel so stupid because I'm looking at the guide. And then as soon as I generally played it, like I would get as far as I could in a puzzle, and it was only when I was like truly stuck that I would look up just enough to get me to the next step of the puzzle. But like, it was always one of those things where it was like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Like that was right in front of me the whole time. Like, how could I not figure that out? But then it happened again and again and again and again. So like, you know,
so you're not an idiot.
I mean, I might be an idiot because,
well, then I'm an idiot.
It
too,
was
just so you know.
Tell me about your experience with the game.
So basically your lead into this conversation is exactly what happened for me.
Yeah.
I was like, I wrote down in my notes about it. It's got that Sea of Thieves vibe where like,
oh, like the in art the graphics. Style, it does. Yeah. It is kind of Sea of Thieves.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
So, and it's all these like,
and it's ocean, you know, tropical. I didn't even put it together that it kind of looks like Sea of Thieves.
Well, so I was just trying to find a way to describe that.
Yeah.
That feeling that you get, the way that it looks. It's got all these like green and blue tones, which I love.
Yeah.
It's bright colors.
Yeah. And it's like Xbox Series enhanced, so it's like 60 frames per second. Didn't seem super consistent at it, but like it looks very, very pretty and is and has a high frame rate. So it's like very nice in that
regard.
Should
be smooth operating.
Yeah,
so it was very pretty. I didn't know about the story. I didn't really know much about it. But I landed on, well, I think you start like on a boat and it kind of teaches you how to interact with things. And I was like, okay, like this is doable. I can do this.
It and mechanic wise, it's like pretty simple.
Hard,
like
mechanic
it's just,
wise. No.
Yeah.
But then I got to the beach, which is like, you have to like open a gate to get to the first chapter.
Yes,
it's like, which I think is really setting the stage for like, this is a puzzle game. This is how you're going to figure things out.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know what to do. I literally had to be like, Derek, and you had already said to me at this point, don't feel bad if you have to.
Yeah. And
like,
this is, and that's
up.
Like, you know,
but
this,
it was not even a puzzle. It was just how to open the gate.
Yeah.
And it was like, it became very obvious very quickly. But pretty much from that moment on, I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Well, and this, it was tough because, you know, with this show, whoever is talking about the game with me, we don't discuss our thoughts. We don't generally discuss the game at all prior. But I feel like I had to give you some context for this game. Otherwise,
which
you were
I
just
really
going to give
it.
Up. And so both with things like, if you need to, like, just so you know, if you need to look up a guide, like, this is a good one. Don't worry about it. And even like, yeah, like helping you with that first puzzle a little bit, which I mean, normally we most of the guests aren't in the same house as me, so it wouldn't be a thing that would happen anyway. But I feel like I had to give you something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I was going to be on this show by myself. So
yeah, 100%. It never even would have occurred to me to use a walkthrough guide thing to figure out how to play the game.
Yeah.
And
you would have just stopped.
I would have just stopped because I do like puzzle games.
Yep.
Games like Monument Valley. I feel like Puzzle Fighter is a different kind of puzzle game.
Definitely.
You got to have different, there's got to be different categories of puzzle games. But anyways, I do enjoy a puzzle game, but not if it's so hard that I don't feel like I can succeed at it.
Mm-hmm.
And this game, I think, was hard because it didn't hold your hand at all in this is what you need to do next.
Yeah.
There was zero indication of what you needed to do. You like literally you get to a space. There's stuff around for you to interact with.
And then the environmental stuff. I really liked that. Like a lot of the I really liked the story in this game and discovering the story aspects, which is largely through like letters that you find in the camps or like photographs that people have taken.
Right.
And, you know, because you are essentially you as Nora have figured out where your husband went and have followed him to this kind of mysterious island. And then you're kind of like one step behind them kind of the whole way, it seems like. And so you're looking at their camps after they've left and figuring out what has happened to them, which like revolves around this like black ooze and like there's all these statues and just crazy stuff around the island. And it just slowly starts to, you slowly start to uncover like what's happening and why it's happening,
which is interesting and a fun way to deliver a story. And it really takes the pressure off of like you have to do this, like you just naturally go and try to pick up each thing. But that becomes frustrating when, first of all, you walk so slowly.
You get a sprint button,
and the speed up button is also very slow, especially when you have to go from like one side of something all the way to the other side of something and then back to that. Like,
do you remember that Nora has a disease which makes her very weak? And at the start, she's like, I'm feeling a bit better now that I'm on this island. But, you know, usually I can't even take a few steps without like needing to sit down and blah, blah, blah. So, yes, she walks slowly. I think that she needs to walk at a certain pace to deliver. You know, a lot of the story comes through exposition of what she's saying as she's experiencing it. And if you're just sprinting around, she wouldn't have time to do that. But also, it makes sense.
Why isn't there an option to like force me to slow down when she's going to have exposition? But then when I'm going back and forth between puzzle pieces, don't make me take 15 seconds to get from one to the next. And then I have to do that over and over and over 17 times because I can't fucking figure out how to do this puzzle.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
By the way, where are we at with swearing on this
show?
I mean,
try to avoid it.
Okay.
But
I think that one was appropriate. That one was very appropriate, I must say.
You felt very strongly.
Oh, I felt, you felt very strongly. Yeah. Also, we talked about the camp thing.
Yeah.
And I just have to say.
Yeah. Don't talk spoilers yet.
Okay.
Are you about to talk spoilers?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll save it.
Let's just save it. Save it
but
for now.
But remind me to come back to the camps.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we just let's like pop the top off, let's say whatever. But before we do that, before we get into spoilers, it sounds like this is like a skip for you. If you had to like tell somebody, you know,
it would depend.
Give
on
it a
the
shot.
Person.
Must play. Skip it.
Yeah.
You know what?
It would depend on the person. Okay. I would never say it's a must play.
But you would have skipped it after about 10 minutes of playing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Like I would have done that first puzzle.
Yeah.
Well, I would have not done that first puzzle. And I would have been like, okay, well, I'm over it. Peace.
Oh, and the voice cast. I love the voice cast was really good. You know, you've got Sissy Jones plays Nora, who was she was like the I can't remember the character's name, but like the person you were talking to in Firewatch. You really liked Firewatch.
I haven't played Firewatch.
Oh, I loved Firewatch.
But Firewatch looks like a beautiful game.
Yeah,
and I really would like to play it someday.
So she was like the person at the end of on the end of the radio.
Okay.
I feel like it starts with a K. It's been a lot of years. She also plays one of the main characters in the Walking Dead games, which I really loved.
Yeah.
And then Yuri Lowenthal is Harry, so Nora's husband. He played like Spider-Man in the Spider-Man game.
Oh, okay.
For PS4,
okay.
And he's done a lot of other stuff. He's a good friend of Jonathan's.
I really wanted to love this game.
Yeah.
Like I went into it
me too. Yeah.
With
me too.
The way that it looks and the the very little bit that I understood about the story, I really wanted to love it. And when you're playing it, it feels like a labor of love.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like whoever made this game, they really loved it. And it was like, I almost wonder if it was like a passion project or something. Sure. But I hated it. And I never want to play it again.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of myself for getting through the entire game. Because I think like four times this week, I've been like, all right, should we go record that podcast now? And you're like, aren't you on chapter two?
Yeah,
yep, ready to go.
Yeah.
I do think that there are some merits to it. And if you are hankering for a real challenge, then definitely get in there.
Do you think like, maybe we're just not very good at video games
Maybe we're dumb.
Other people. Yeah. Like, do you think that ever?
No, I think that like, yeah, I'm not very good at video games, but I don't.
But it's not, this was, it, you wouldn't need to be good at video games to get through this. Like, it's about the logic of the puzzles and stuff.
I think the way that the puzzles are delivered, I think that it could have been really good with the puzzles. I think the way the puzzles are delivered, and I think the lack of guidance as to how you engage with the puzzles is the big thing here. And like, there's no time or space when she says out loud to herself, oh, if I use these symbols that I found over here, maybe I can figure out how to turn the dial that also has the symbols here. It's just like, oh, there happens to be some symbols in this book that I wrote down. Hopefully I happen to wander over to the right things and mark down the right symbols. Because if I didn't, then I'm not going to figure out how to unlock this puzzle. And like, luckily, somebody else has already gone and done it. So I can go look at the internet and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you got to turn left and then right and then touch the thing while you're touching your nose. And then you can go and start the puzzle.
Well, and how about just like, just a hint button? Just put in a hint button.
Right.
Like after, you
just
know,
something.
The main example I have of this is Uncharted, because I've been playing the Uncharted games recently. And those puzzles are not hard at all. They're pretty obvious, but it, like, if you're in an environment too long and you can't quite figure out what's next or anything like that, like after a certain period of time, it gives you, you don't have to take it, but it's like, hey, hit, click L3 or whatever the button is and to get a hint. And so if you like click it, it'll then just pop up like a hint for you. But the fact that, the fact that in this game, and I don't know if other, like, our other games that are in this kind of puzzly genre, do they also do the same thing where it's just like, either you figure it out or you're stuck here unless you look it up online. Like, why not just give the option after, you know, don't have it right in front of you. Don't have it available at any time. Like, have it, like, if you haven't progressed at all in 10 minutes,
totally
give you the option for a hint.
Well, and I've even seen not puzzly games where, like, because I'm one of the people who likes to explore my surroundings in whatever game I'm playing. And so there's been games that I've been playing where, like, I'll be exploring everything and interacting with things in the room. And then the character says to itself, oh, I really should start heading towards that door or something. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's my trigger to
definitely.
That's where I need to start when I start. But actually, I still want to read these three journal entries over here or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I just think that there's no... the lack of that in this game makes it so frustrating. And then for me, that really detracted from my engagement in the story.
Yeah.
I cared much less about the story because it was just a fucking slog to get through. And I wasn't enjoying it because it was too... Are we just giant whiners? I don't know. Here I am trying to reassure you that we're not idiots, but...
We might just be idiots.
We might just be...
Yeah.
But we're not, though. I think... Is it just expectations? Like, what did they want?
What expectations did you have?
But in that synopsis, there's no like, hey, just so you know, this will be super challenging.
Really hard puzzle.
There's no indication that it's going to be that hard.
I would love to know if anyone listening has played Call of the Sea and did not find the puzzles hard, and that we are an idiot. We are idiots. No, like. Derek at geekscape.net, let me know what you thought of Call of the Sea. Did you struggle anywhere, even if it's like, you know, chapter four was really hard but the rest of the game I breezed through, anything like that? Like, I feel like I think I got to through most up to through most of chapter two without looking at anything.
Okay.
And then after that I had to look up every chapter, like, again, only like, I only looked it up when I got stuck, but every chapter I had to look something up. And like, chapter, I think chapter four is one where you're like, you have to like kind of decipher like a language almost and like figure out where these certain things should be. Even like the explanation in the guide, I was like, I don't know what this means.
Oh my god, that was like the
that,
last.
That was
chapters
when I most
that
felt. That was when
me.
I most felt like an idiot. Hold your thought on the camps and stuff. Like, we'll jump into spoilers in one sec.
Kay.
First, there's just a little message from our friends at the Geekscape Games podcast.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. I'm Shane O'Hare of the Geekscape Games podcast, the number one video game podcast on the Geekscape.network. Join myself, Derek Krennevelt, and a guest every fortnight as we discuss video game news, video game reviews, and dissections. That's Geekscape Games every 2 weeks on Geekscape.net.
It's been a blast. You know, it's 182 episodes in.
That's crazy.
And we took like 2 years off and like recuperated. And I'm really enjoying being a part of it again. So
I'm really glad to see you back. It's nice to hear your voices back together again.
Yeah, you listen.
I listen I would say I've listened to like 70% of the new ones.
How many would that be, do you think?
Well, like, I've started all of them.
Okay, yeah.
And then I
get 70% of the total runtime.
Yeah, like, yeah, okay. One or two. How many have you done now?
Six, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
Definitely, like, one to three, I've listened to the whole thing. And then the other ones, I've started all of them, and I don't know where I'm at in them. But it's just tough because I love audiobooks. And so, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to this podcast. And then, you know.
So, pop the top off. Spoiler-wise, you were talking about, like, a camp. And something that really...
Yeah, I feel like it's not really a spoiler, but I kept thinking over and over again, because the camps are like, each chapter has at least one camp, or, you know, the camps are where the clues are left for you to write in your journal. So you're following your husband, Harry, because you have this disease, and he has been researching a cure for the disease. And so he has ended up on this island off of Tahiti.
Well, he's been like missing for like 4 months.
Yes.
And then you get like a package.
Yes. With like a knife, I think, in it, and a couple other things that lead you to follow his trail, essentially. And following his trail leads you to this island off of Tahiti that nobody wants to go to.
74 miles east of Tahiti. And you like struggled to get someone that would take you there because it's like cursed or something. Yeah.
It's got bad vibes. Yep. And anyways, and then they get there, and then the ship that took them, I think when they were trying to come back, it crashes.
Mm-hmm.
And his like expedition members that have been with him, as you like follow through the camps and you find different camps, you find different burial sites and
sorry, I was just looking at my notes. You talked about the slowness of the character walking.
Yeah.
And in the last episode, Doogie and I were talking about the medium, and he complained so hard about the glacially slow pace that Marianne walks at. And I said, I hope that we get the option to sprint at some point. I understand that the character is sick, but she walks slower than Marianne did in the medium. And then I noted again, as soon as I wrote this, she said that she feels quite good versus usual, and you get the option to sprint. Phew.
Except it's not sprinting. It's like
a normal walking pace. And prior to that, it was like you could crawl faster than that. Anyways.
What was I talking about? The camps.
The camp.
So you like get to the island, and the first thing you find is a camp, and they'll have a few tents set up. They'll have a few tables set up. They'll have some like boxes or crates, and they'll usually have like a cooking fire thing. And they're like, the basics of them are all pretty similar. But the thing is, how did they carry all the supplies to make a new camp? Because every camp, you go to the next camp from that camp. It's not like you're going back to the boat to get more supplies.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means when they were setting up camp number two, they had enough supplies on them to set up like at least 15 more camps, including a cooking pot, multiple tents, various crates.
So you're saying the amount, like, why wouldn't they just pack up their camp before moving on
yes!
to the next place? Yeah. Maybe if you thought less about things like that and more about the puzzles. and had to solve the puzzles, it would have been a bit of a different time.
Maybe if they had thought more about making it realistic, yeah, and then also about how to tell you.
If they cleaned up all their stuff.
I know, they need to leave them because that's how you find the hints. That's how you find...
Well, not even the hints, but like what's happening.
You wouldn't know that they had been there.
You know, what's happening to them. And
yeah,
a couple of people die along the way, so maybe it makes sense to leave their tents.
The camps have to be there. That's the whole exposition of the story.
Yeah.
It doesn't function without the camps. Yeah. But, I didn't really start feeling annoyed by it until when I got to like chapter 6 today. And it's like, inside the temple that like nobody can get to unless you have this special blood and blah blah blah, and like, oh, there's a camp, oh, you go through inside,
there was a
camp
inside the temple.
Yes!
Didn't Harry get in though? Harry and that other girl,
yeah,
what was her name?
Cass. Cassandra.
Yeah
So like when is it chapter 5 when you go into like you take a some sort of floating raft that brings you to another place, and then you have to get into...
That's part of chapter 6, I believe.
Door. Oh, okay. Yeah. So once you get into the big door, that's where he had to like mix his blood with the black ooze in order to get through that door.
Yeah.
But then you go inside there, and the first things that you're supposed to look at are, to the left, Harry has a little camp, and to the right, like, it just doesn't make any sense. But it has to be like that because that's your whole exposition thing.
Yeah.
And I do quite like that, like at each site, there's bits and pieces that you pick up. But then there's also often sometimes like a letter that he has written to you. And
you hear him speak and you kind of see images.
Yeah, I quite liked that. And then when you get to nearer to the end,
and they slowly get like less and less hopeful.
Totally.
But
also you realize that like Harry has done this specifically so that she will follow this trail. I don't know why you couldn't just have like an upfront relationship where you're like, hey, I found out all this stuff about you and why you're like this. And, you know, why don't we talk about this and make a choice that's going to be best for it? Like, I understand that he was trying to trick her into
to the
doing
point
the thing.
Where, and again, we're in spoiler territory, major, to the point where he like fakes his that he's dead.
He fakes his death. Yeah. He fakes his death.
Yeah. See, we are idiots.
He faked his death to trick her. Because, okay, so the whole
I also
thing,
wrote in all caps, why didn't Harry just tell her? Why did it need to be this elaborate ruse? We could have saved so much time.
But she would not have left him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Like, he loved her so much. She loved him so much.
They all called each other old pal because there's a song like Dear Old Pal or something that they like love to play to get like, it was super cute.
It was very cute.
I really did like those. The way they built those characters together without ever seeing Harry.
Yeah.
I was sad
that we never got to see Harry.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just off on a tangent, but there in episode 2, there's like a hatch and they talk about blowing up in a hatch.
What? Episode 2?
Season 2. Episode, fuck.
Chapter 2. Oh my god, I don't know what. I was like, are we talking about Lost?
Well, this is why I got messed up.
Because you're talking about Lost.
I was like, oh my gosh, is this a Lost reference? Are there going to be Lost references? We're on a weird tropical island. That was like, you go into the hatch and that's where there's kind of it's like a circle. And there's like a bunch of things and some of them have the ooze leaking from them.
Oh, the eyes?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was the hatch.
That was a well.
Well, there's a hatch at some point that they talked about blowing open. But I was like, oh my gosh, are there going to be Lost references? I love Lost references. Season 2 of Lost, I think, is the major hatch season. So that's
maybe
why I got kind of confused.
That was
there.
A Lost reference.
I mean, it might have been
the only one.
Yeah. It's hard to know.
It is. Just like with Lost. It's hard to know anything.
It wasn't that hard. Characters start dying. But you know, by the time you get to not characters that you see, cause you're the only like person on the island at that point, but characters like start dying and you like, by the time chapter 6 comes around, it's only Harry and Cass that are left.
And Harry is like doing this to figure it out for
you.
Oh,
at one point I was
like,
Harry and Cass are definitely together and we're just going to discover that they
really,
for a while. You didn't think that at all?
I had such faith in the old pals loving each other till.
Well, and he did keep writing her like letters and stuff. Yeah, there would just be like,
I did. It have was because
Cass
like,
is like a photographer or something, and there was
she's a journalist.
She's a journalist, but there would just be like random photos of Harry, and I'm like, she's obsessed with them. Oh no. Yeah.
I did kind of think that maybe she was into him, but I never thought that Harry would be into her.
Yeah.
He just loves Nora too much.
Yeah, that's fair. To the point where he fakes his death.
To the point where he fakes his death. But I do wonder, like it was interesting because you don't really know Cass's motivation until the end. And she is like a diehard of wanting to get through the expedition, whereas everyone else is like, through the notes, you discover that they're either dying or being like, hey, Harry, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah. Can we just go home?
Or they're going crazy because they touch the ooze or like something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they try to like kill someone else. Like there's lots of weird stuff.
It is.
That kind of happens because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find, I noticed that like I missed a bunch of the journal entries and I thought I was being pretty thorough about like going and discovering things.
I'm pretty sure I got every single one.
Really?
Yeah. Because I would like super heavily explore
before you went
before I would look at a cheated. Guide. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think I missed a single journal entry.
Yeah. I didn't think that I was going like I kept having these moments too where like especially when you get to the underwater levels.
Yep.
Which is really
neat. Chapter 5. And you finally find out kind of where Harry, why Harry has come here. Like his goal at one point was to become one of these sea creatures so he could be like you. Yeah. So Nora's kind of like a sea creature, but she was also on Earth. And why she was sick was that she was like too far away from home.
Is that what was happening?
Did you not watch the, which, so there's two endings actually.
Oh yeah. Which ending did
so
you choose?
So you get to choose. So,
between
like going home, which like
you
listening
go back to
the
Harry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then
we're saying different things at the same time.
With
why don't
the
you
same
just
words.
Go ahead.
There's one where you like deny your fate and you go back to Harry because you love him and you want to be with him. And then the other option is
you
like,
listen to the call
you
of
have
the sea.
Discovered and who you are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so you're going to follow your fate and go this way.
So I did one ending and then immediately reloaded my save so I could watch the other ending.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one did you choose?
So I chose to go back to Harry.
Oh my God. That's so funny. I chose not to go back to Harry. Yeah. I was like, he already did all this work and almost died so that I could figure out how to be who I am. Yeah. And then he fucking tricked me that he had died so that I could have this opportunity. What a slap in the face it would be if he went through all that. And then I did not become the sea creature that
but
I was
he,
meant
but
to
she
be
loves
in my
him
heart.
And would rather die maybe than be without him. How did your ending go? Why didn't you tell us about it?
Like when I chose that?
Yeah.
I walked through a door and walked down a path and into the sea. And then there was a bunch of different sea creatures and stuff. And then it blacked out, I think.
But did it like, did she talk about why she, what she was doing or anything?
Can't remember. Nothing that was like monumental. Mm. It was just more of the same, like, talking about how
and because I mean at that point it had mostly been filled in
like as you go through each chapter you get closer and closer to understanding that she is going to she because part of her illness is she has these spots all over her and those spots are because she is part sea creature and
it's
so
like mermaid type thing basically
but like with like weird sea creature hands.
Is that not a thing a mermaid could have? Why do you get to gatekeep mermaids?
I mean, the
can't all
pop
be Ariel,
culture-y
you know? Yeah.
Version. When I think of mermaid,
no,
I think
you
of
think
Ariel.
Of Jason Momoa. Oh.
I don't think of Jason Momoa.
Just thought you often
surprisingly.
Do, you know? Yeah.
In that instance, I do not. Other instances, yes. But no, I think of like Ariel or that kind of mermaid where it's just like half person and half
but Ursula.
Fish tail. I mean, I think of her sometimes, but
I just mean she's not a typical mermaid. Is she a mermaid? I don't know.
Isn't she Ursula? Like an octopus thing or something on the bottom half? I don't know. But the top half of her has regular human hands.
Yeah.
Although probably in Disney, they all have four fingers. Anyways, what are we talking about?
Your ending and the sea creature-ness.
Right. So I think you need to explain, though, that Nora, the reason that she is ill is because she has something inside of her. She is supposed to be the sea creature. She has a music box that she got from her mom, and that music box is a mermaid going around this like stone pillar and singing a song. And so Harry has taken that with him. Sorry, I'm really struggling. And then he is trying to figure out a cure for your illness. Yep. And your illness, it turns out, is because you are destined to become this sea creature. And so that's why when you get to the island, you're closer to like your natural habitat where you're supposed to be. But also,
she's homesick.
Yes. Yes. But the story is very confusing because she's like talking about how everyone, like, she's finding these huts and these murals and these pillars and blah, blah, blah. Everything is like this ancient civilization obviously lived here.
Yeah.
And they worshipped this god and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's weird stuff in there, too. Like, were they keeping people as slaves, or like were some of
were
them
her
slaves?
People the slaves?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or were her people the people that got worshipped by the slaves?
Yeah.
But then, so there's this weird juxtaposition of her walking through all these things. And as you get deeper into it, she's like, oh, I feel so at home here. I feel so alive. I've never felt better in myself.
Yeah.
You know, this is supposed to be this scary place, but I feel so calm and so safe here, blah, blah, blah. But then as she's like consuming the information from the mural, she's like, oh, I can feel that it's so evil here because everyone was slaves and they were slaughtering the slaves. Right. And it seems like the slaves had to go to this temple place, and then they either became the sea creatures or they died and were sacrificed. Mm-hmm. And so, like, why is it good that she's the sea creature? Why would you want to embrace that? Why do you feel more comfortable here if you're part of the slave race?
Right.
But if you're not part of the slave race, then you're the enslaving race. And what is that about? Like, that part of the story was very confusing to me. And at the end, I was like, I actually went back and tried to like read through my journal notes to see if I could like suss out why it was like this and why I felt so, it felt so like disconnected, I guess. But then I never did find a reason why it was the way it is. And I don't know if she's a slave or not a slave. Are slaves still a thing?
I think
was
this was like that
thing?
Stuff was like a long time ago, I think, though. So
it's very confusing.
Yeah.
But then also she's like, are we even on Earth anymore?
Yes,
because
that's
when
true.
I look up,
that's
the
a different
constellations
sky.
Are different.
Yeah.
Like, it's very confusing.
There's a lot of stuff happening for sure. I did not choose that ending. Initially, I went back and watched it after, but I chose to go back to Harry.
Yeah.
You don't actually.
Why did you choose that?
I don't know. I just feel like they. I'm just more romantic than you are.
I think so. I think this is like when we decided we were going to chop each other, which is like a slap in wrestling lingo.
Like across the chest.
Across
chop.
The chest.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're doing this so that we can know what the experience is like.
Yep.
So we are doing it. I give you permission. You give me permission. That makes it sound really dirty, but it wasn't. It was just like consensual violence. And I did it. I went
really hard, and it hurt. I went first.
Oh, yeah. And then
I
held back.
Backed out at the last second, barely touched you.
And I was like, that didn't hurt. That was fun. And then so I did it immediately. And you were like, oh, my God, ow, that really hurt.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Because I'm really tough.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is the same thing where I'm like, OK, well, he killed himself so that or no, he pretended to kill himself so that I could go off and become the sea creature. So obviously
so
I'm
just
going to
do it.
That. Thank you. I love you. Bye. I am my full self now, which I also kind of feel like it's like a good way of being in the world generally.
It was a journey of self-discovery.
It really was. Sea, that was the like most honest part of that description. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, so I decided to go back to Harry. I was very upset that it made you choose because it was a very hard choice.
It was a hard choice. And I was really sad I didn't get to meet Harry. I really wanted to experience some of their relationship, but then I had to choose.
Totally, yeah. And it was so sad, I thought, getting to that point because you know, based on what I was kind of seeing in the chapters before, you know, I thought that they were going to be reunited and become mermaids together or something, but instead he like tried to make her think he was dead so that she would just go on without him because she wouldn't have anything left in this world to like care about type thing. That was very sad. Like, I was emotionally affected.
Really?
Yeah, that was super sad.
I was not emotionally affected because I had to keep looking at my phone to figure out how to play the game.
And then it makes you choose. And so I chose to go back to Harry. You don't actually see, and it kind of says something like, you know, I guess in a real love story, it doesn't end with a wedding, but a funeral. And I was like, what the heck? You don't get to see their reunion or anything like that.
What?
It's just kind of like there's a bit of dialogue and that's it. But then you know, the credits happen and it goes over them playing piano and singing this Dear Old Pal song together.
Oh, they did that in mine too.
But partway through the song, Nora starts coughing really bad. And then Harry's like, oh, come on, like, let's go. And they don't get to even finish the song.
Oh.
And I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it because it was so sad.
That's heartbreaking. Right? That did not happen in mine. It just played the whole song. And at the end, they talked about how much they loved each other or something.
Yeah. 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 So, and then, and then I immediately went back and watched the other ending. But yeah, that was super sad. And like, I was like, oh, it's a nice like reunion moment and you're getting to hear this song and it's beautiful. And, you know, even though she's going to die from this disease, it seems like they're still having a time together, which is nice. And then she starts coughing and I'm like, what the fuck?
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I don't know.
You knew that she was sick. You knew she couldn't exist.
And the dialogue, they said they had a few more good years together before she died. And then like, Harry like talks about it like after the credits, he just talks about burying himself in his work because he has nothing left to
he talked about that in mine too.
And that was really sad. It was tough,
but in mine he's talking about how he buried himself in his work, etc., because there's nothing else in his life.
Yeah,
but he knows that she is out there living her immortal mermaid life because he
gets no life anymore.
Yeah, but he's gonna be sad either way because either she's dead or she's
but
gone.
They had a few more good years.
Were they that good though if they couldn't
That's
even
what the
sing
dialogue
a song
said. I mean, at some point maybe they could sing a song. That got me, that end credit bit though.
And so
I was very
knowing
well
that
done.
Would you change your choice?
Well, I didn't know that at the time. You don't get to, since life is strange, you can't rewind time and make a different choice, you know?
I just think it's really interesting because I think it's a good reflection of like how we live our lives.
Yeah,
you know, and I think
you're like peace and I'm like, don't go.
I think you and I specifically, that's a very good reflection of like, I'm very much like, I need to figure me out. I need to be the best me that I can be in order to be able to show up in our relationship. And you're like, I just want to love you forever, always.
Yeah.
Let me do nice things for you, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes I will put myself first in order to make everything else in my life okay. And you will always put somebody else first before you put yourself first. I don't think you see value in that for the most part. Which means that you enjoy a few mediocre years and then die.
Wow, thanks. It really was a journey of self-discovery.
I discovered yourself.
Wow. One thought that I had too in terms of having to make that choice is that we barely really saw Nora in a spot where she was super sick. Like, she was slow at first, but she very quickly ends up on the island and you don't really ever see any of that. So,
well, and I think even when she's on the boat, she's like
starting
talking
to
about
feel
feeling
better.
A bit better.
Definitely, yeah. You know, and she says like normally she could only take a few steps or whatever, can barely walk, all that stuff. But I wonder if had we actually had an opportunity to see her disease prior to coming to the island, would a different choice have been easier to make?
Right.
You know, for me, it didn't feel, you know, it felt like she was chasing her husband.
Yeah.
And so the right ending felt like to ignore the reasons why he did it and to reunite them. That felt like the right ending for me, which obviously is different than you, but would it still have felt like that if we had seen her prior?
I don't know.
It's tough.
Like, I think maybe. I mean, I chose to not go back to illness anyways, but that was mostly based on Harry having done what he did and me not wanting to make it a waste.
Yeah.
Right? Like, could you imagine if you went through all of that for me, which I think you would. I think that you, like, if we were in
if
this
you were
video
a
game,
sea creature with a disease,
yeah, you would go to Tahiti to figure out how to do it. And then I hope that you would not fake your death. I hope that you would just talk to me and we would figure it out. And then I'd be like, peace.
Yeah.
but I can't remember where I was going with that. Oh, I think if you went through all of that work and then I was like, great. Thank you. Thanks for risking your life and having this super weird experience. But actually, I'm just going to stay at home and get real sick with you. How about that? Okay. Love you. Let's hang out. Please come wash the barf off my face. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you would be very upset if I did not go through.
But I would also get to spend more time with you before you did die.
Yeah. Resenting me for having made you do this huge expedition.
This is getting real. If you were to get, you know, if we say, look at becoming a immortal sea creature as a metaphor for having cancer or something like that.
God,
if you had
too real.
You get cancer and the choice is to die and go be dead or spend more time with me, but sicker, I would probably want you to still be around for as long as possible.
And I would want to just die. Right. That's so funny. That's very much. And I think we've talked about this, like, in terms of dementia or something before, or we talk about like having the right to choose your death. And you are very much like, you don't get to decide when you die. Like, you live for as long as possible. Everyone lives for as long as possible. Right. And modern medicine, you take your medications, you live as long as possible.
Says the guy who hasn't been to the doctor in a decade. But
I mean, that's a good loophole right there. But I think like, obviously, I'm young enough that if I had cancer, I would probably want to figure out how to not have cancer. Yeah. But I am very much like, people have the right to choose. I would only try so hard. And then I would want to just enjoy being loved by you until I die. And I think that's very reasonable.
All right.
Right?
I'll just have to agree to disagree.
Meanwhile, you're gonna let me get to the point where I like can't make a decision for myself, and then you're gonna be like full resuscitation.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to say about Call of the Sea? It's such a, and I feel like I always struggle. I'm always like, oh, this was such a tough game.
Yeah.
I loved everything but the puzzles, which is such an important part of the game.
It is the game.
And like, again, I think that literally you put a hint button in there. And it's much better for it.
Yeah,
that's
all
it needed.
I think the puzzles could have been done much better.
The puzzles themselves were probably fine, aside from maybe that chapter four where I didn't even understand the guide. But
let me find a juice in one of the camps that gives me super speed. And then, you know, I'm on a tropical mystery island. There could be fast juice there.
Fast juice.
Yeah. Give me some fast juice.
Gotta go fast.
Give me some smart juice.
Yeah.
And then
that's how you get the hints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Give me fucking something. Give me something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough. I was very frustrated in the middle chapters with not being able to engage in the story, which might have actually made it easier for me to choose the fuck it, I'm going to become a mermaid path.
Yeah.
Because I was struggling to engage in the story when I could not figure it out.
Sure.
And so even going into the beginning of a section, I was like, okay, what am I going to miss? What am I not going to see that is going to stop me from being able to figure out a puzzle? And half the time when I was reading the instructions on the internet of how to do the puzzle, I was like, I don't understand what these words mean, but I'm just going to do exactly what they say.
I'm just going to make mine look like the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But I do think if you're smarter than us and you enjoy puzzle games and things that are pretty and sappy love stories.
Yeah. Again, Derek at Geekscape.net, was this an easy puzzle game or did you struggle as well? I would really love to know.
I really hope that you hear from somebody who did have an easy time with it. And
like, how could you? Are you 10? Like, how could you not get through this? You
know?
Me too. Well, do I want to hear that, though?
Yeah, you do. Because
it'll just reaffirm what I already think about myself.
No, I don't think it has to do with intelligence. I think it has to do with the way that your brain solves problems.
Right.
Like we
Mine
probably
just usually bottles them up.
Yes. Inside, that's your soul, not your brain. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and like, it's tough. I didn't even know that you could get instructions on the internet like that.
Now you do, if you ever, you know, Danger in town. 2 months when we're record, when we're preparing the next game, because you're every other episode, we'll talk. You know, now if you need a guide, I can find it for you, or you just look up game I'm playing walkthrough, and that's it. You know, well, it sounds like that's Call of the Sea. I don't know if we.
But okay, how cool is it that she became the sea creature?
She died in mine.
But the option, like the
I know, it was cool.
Thing, it was cool.
Yeah,
and it was very pretty underwater.
It was.
I did feel like when I was underwater, they would be, I would turn around and be like, I can't see where to go next. And then I would like turn around again. And it was like something that I had never seen before.
That kept happening to me. There. It was like it didn't load or something.
It was so
like
weird.
I would look up, like there would be nothing in front of me. And I would like literally just look up. And when I look back down, it's like there's the platform.
The most obvious like four, thing like, ever.
Several times.
Okay. I'd think that's not us then.
Okay.
Maybe there's a fuck up in the game and they're just I mean, not telling us that it makes us really dumb.
There's, that there was supposed to be a hint button.
Yes. But
yeah. I mean, it sounds like that's it for Call of the Sea.
Yep.
Thank you for persevering. Thank you for pushing through.
Thank you
I've enjoyed
for
having this
so
conversation
patient.
With you. Hopefully the next game we play is a bit easier to understand.
You know what, though? I did really like the length of this game.
Oh, I love short games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love short games.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I think it took me double as long as it
still
took
pretty
you,
short,
but
though.
Still
yeah.
not bad.
Still pretty short. I think it was about 5-6 hours for me. So.
Or, you know, 11.
Yeah, yeah. I really wish that I think the PlayStation side of things does, but on the Xbox it's really hard to see unless the game, like when you're saving manually, like has like a time tracker. It's really can be really hard to see exactly how many hours you've played. Some games listed in there like achievements, like when you're trying to compare with friends, but not all games do. And it's not to like a minute, so if you're like if it's like somewhere between 5 and 6 hours, it would just say like 5 hours or something. So I really wish they did a better job with that.
Really good tracker for how long
Stardew Valley playing.
Stardew Valley,
how many hours?
Oh, too many. too many.
Yeah, hundreds.
Like multiple hundreds,
cool.
I'm sure.
I'm going to draw the next game.
Yeah, let's do it.
Last episode, I thought I would try something fun and new where instead of drawing one game, we keep it random, but have a little bit of input in it where I would actually draw two games and have the guest choose the next game that we would play. You know, maybe this sticks around, maybe it doesn't. I thought it was fun last time, so I'd like to do it again.
Let's do it.
You know, for it's different. It's interesting for like someone like you because you don't know a lot of games. And so both of these titles may not mean anything to you. But, you know, in the idea around it is like, a guest maybe like there's a game that they know is shitty and they don't like me, so they'll choose that one. Or it's like a favorite pops up and so they'll choose the favorite because they want to hear what.
Why are they your guest if they don't like you? It's because you made them play Call of the Sea. It's because you made them play Medium, isn't it? Didn't Dookie choose
Call
of the Sea?
Dookie did choose this
game. Did he have a reason for it?
He had not played it, so.
Okay.
No.
I'm going to ask him about it.
You should, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool, here we go. All right, so my next guest is Shane O'Hare from the Geekscape Games podcast. I don't know if that changes your answer or anything like that.
I mean, it's not going to make me know what the game is.
Yeah. Game one or game two, which would you like us to play?
Oh, God.
So the options are Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, or Dragon Age 2.
I'm going to go with Yakuza because I've heard of Dragon Age before. I don't know what either of them are about, but Yakuza sounds more mysterious.
Okay.
And this has nothing to do with you or Shane or video games. Yep. It's literally just words.
Okay, perfect.
Perfect.
We could have just drawn one game in this case. Is
totally.
That
yeah. Hundo P.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
I have enjoyed
me.
This chat. Even if you didn't enjoy the game, it's always nice having you on. So I look forward to hearing your voice again in this show very soon. next month, I'll be back with Shane O'Hare.
Nice.
And we will be talking all about Yakuza 6, The Song of Life. Never played the series before. Josh Jackson, also from the Geekscape Game podcast. I think he's played all of these games.
Oh, is he a fan?
He's a huge fan of them.
Okay.
I don't know if that says anything about the games or what, but I am looking
I feel like
forward.
He has good taste in games sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. loves the waifu games.
Yeah,
I wonder
he does.
If there's any waifus in.
But I know, like, back in the day when I listened to the podcast, yeah. it would be like the Geekscape Games podcast. Yeah. I would always be intrigued by the games that he talked about.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I'm interested. I'm looking forward to playing that. So thank you for listening. If you have liked what you have listened to, throw us a 5-star review, share the episode, share the show with a friend. Anything that you can do to get us out there, is great. we love it. We thank you so much for joining us. We will be back in 1 month to talk about Yakuza 6. And again, if you want to hear me in the meantime, every other Thursday, there is a brand new episode of Geekscape Games. Just head over to geekscape.net or search for Geekscape Games in whatever app you use for your podcasts. Thank you again, Michaela.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely. I'm glad you're back.
Thanks so much.
Also, gets you out of my
hair. Gets you out of my hair a little bit. Gets me out of your hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I bothering you? Am I too clingy?
All right. Good day.
On that note, goodbye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.